You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I want to gamble.
I never want to hear those words out of your mouth again. Gambling is a very serious business.
Is that clear?
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Woo-hoo! Big bet for a big man! Sure you don't want to save a few bucks for the buffet?
Welcome to the Fabulous Big Bet Podcast, part of the DWZ Fantasy Sports Network. And here are your hosts, Memphis at DWZ Memphis and Dr. Kyle at DWZ underscore Dr. PT. And now to the fabulous big bets.
Here's an idea. Why don't you give me half the money you were going to bet? Then we'll go out back, I'll kick you in the nuts, and we'll call it a day.
You got lucky there.
Yep, it was luck.
So, that's it then. Just like a young man coming in for a quickie. I feel so unsatisfied.
It's Hate Brand Goods. That's my company. That is what we've started. I hope you guys have checked it out. If you want to go over to thehate.com, hate for me means it's about self-improvement. It's this self-motivation through self-loathing, this bit of loathing of not tolerating your own bullshit, that little voice that says today's good enough or what we did's fine or no one's going to know that I'm taking today off. Like, fuck all that, man. I know. Like, I hold that standard. I'm accountable to me. And that's it. That's why I chase goals. I do it because of me. I don't do it because of what someone else is going to think of it or what someone else's approval is. And it's about holding yourself to that. The rest of that motivation can fade, but as long as you're in control of being able to make you do the shit you want to do, you're golden, man. So head over to thehate.com, use code and save yourself some cash.
What's happening, guys? Happy Thursday and welcome to the Fabulous Big Bet. My name is Memphis. You can follow me on Twitter at DWZMemphis. And with me, as always, you know him as Dr. Kyle at DWZDrPT on Twitter. But I also know him as...
I'm a killer. I'm the dirtiest player in the game. I know one thing. Win at all costs.
Now, you don't sound as fired up tonight, Dr. Kyle, as you did in that promo, but good to have you back, buddy.
Always a pleasure to be here, Memphis.
Yeah, he's a little under the weather. My man's playing hurt, okay? whatever you think. I thought Dr. Kyle was coming into this show, he was going to be questionable, you know? And in the NFL terms, questionable.
I'm Tom Brady questionable.
You're
Entire career.
You were born questionable. I'm gonna check with Mrs. Dr. Kyle, check with her, see what she has to say. But man, thank you for working with me last week. We did the speed rush edition. I'm gonna do a little promoting, not a lot. I just want to give a shout out to our DFS. I think DFS, out of all the fantasy sports, I think DFS is the closest related to gambling, and I want to give a shout out to Tyler at FF Tyler O, and Lou at Lou Dog Sports, our DFS team. Now, I got all the love and so happy to have, you know, the other Kyle, not Dr. Kyle, but the other Kyle, Kyle August from the Fantasy Football Smackdown.
OG
Dallas,
Kyle.
Dallas, of course, our man Jerry, yourself. But we'll talk about DFS for a minute, man. Tyler and Lou have been ripping it up. And I am not a DFS guy. We used to talk a little DFS on this particular show. Not my thing. Didn't love it. Wasn't my favorite. I would rather talk sides and totals, talk props on the football Sunday school. But if you're into DFS, man, give them a try, especially if you're into like more head-to-head stuff. They're better at it. They talk about it. But you can find that on YouTube as well as here on the podcast network. That drops Friday evening for a YouTube show live. Of course, you can always find it on YouTube after that, Dynasty Warzone YouTube channel. And you can find it in a podcast on Saturday. So again, Lou and Tyler have been killing it. Highly recommend you check them out. But Dr. Kyle, it is that time, my brother. It is time to talk about some big bets. Now, you did okay last week. Not too bad. Yeah, not too bad. You know, you're being
I'm
a little
floating
humble.
Still. I'm floating.
You know, you went 3-1-1. Actually, yep. We both had the and one. We both had the push. We both pushed on the Green Bay game. I feel like we got lucky. They took turns shanking that one. Shankopotamus.
And not only that, but you know, the Bengals got within two with the 2-point conversion to go. And at that point, if you have the Packers laying three, you're rooting for them to get the 2-point conversion because you don't want the Packers getting the ball back and have the potential to run out the clock up two, because that's no good for us in Vegas. So yeah, that was a wild, wild ending. But those numbers, it's like they know.
You know, one of the uglier games of the week treated us okay. We had Tennessee and Jacksonville. Now you had Tennessee laying the 4.5. That was a winner. I had over 48.5, also a winner. Now you did a little teaser, a little squeezer, a little pleaser. You had Dallas down to 1 and yep. Baltimore down to 0.5. I also had Baltimore down to 0.5. We both got lucky to get there. The Colts, and I'm wearing my Colts hat. I am a fan, but I can be honest. It came down to some bad kicking in special teams, but good for Baltimore. It also helped us get winner. You had Baltimore teased with Dallas for a win. I had Baltimore teased with New England, also for a win, barely. But a win's a win, right? Win's a win. You had Buffalo.
Yep. Doesn't have to be pretty.
You had Buffalo plus 2.5. Yep. And I had the Raiders minus 5. Man, I just can't get the feel of this Raiders team. They have cost me twice. I'm just going to have to lay off the Raiders.
I'm laying off them this week for that reason too, especially like it feels like it might even be a good spot, but with the Gruden stuff going on now, you know, we'll get to that obviously, but definitely feels like a team you can't trust right now.
I can understand that. And then you're one loser. So your three were the teaser, yeah. Buffalo and Tennessee. Your push was Green Bay, but your loser happened to be your big bet. You had Carolina teased to, you had Carolina minus 3.5. That was your big bet. My big bet was the teaser. It was teasing New England and Baltimore. That was my big bet. So I'm 4-1 on big bets. You're 2-3. I also had the over in the Carolina-Philadelphia game. Just an ugly game. I was so glad I didn't have the chance to watch that in the airport in Denver. Brutal. Just
probably
brutal.
Would have made me angrier because Carolina was up so early and it looked like, okay, they're probably just going to run away with this.
That's
one. And then
what just, I thought, just coast. And so I finished 2-2-1. So for me, the week was a dead push. I lose the juice on my bets, on my two losses. So I'm 13-10-1 on the season. You're 14-16-1. On the season. Now you're 2-3 on big bets. We got to get your big bet ship turned around. I'm 4-1, sticking with the pleasers and the squeezers. And now let's get to leans. We both leaned to the Rams. They won by 9, so they covered easily. You had the over so actually you were 3-3 on leans because you had 2 in the LA Chargers game. You had the over and you had the Chargers.
Yes.
You had the Chargers minus. Depends on when you got it. Now, you had it as the Chargers minus 2. They won by 5. You were cool either way. So those were your two correct. You had under in
Justin
the Houston
Herbert.
You had under in the Houston game, over in the Carolina game, under in the Pittsburgh and Denver game. So 2-3 on leans. It was a rough week for one Dr. Kyle. He was 5-4-1 on the week. Not a loser.
A lot not of a loser, podcasting. But F totals, Memphis. F them in the
A. So you're going to be able to talk about that when we shift into this week. On my leans, I was 4-0-1. So I had a really good week across the board. I was 6-2-2. I had the Rams as a lean. I said I would have considered Minnesota to a teaser. I would have teased them down to one. They won by two. Again, another miracle. I said I would have considered Denver a teaser to +8. They lost by 8, so that would have been my push. I leaned to the Chargers. That would have been a win. And I would have considered teasing Buffalo up to 8.5. Would have been a win. So for your boy here, I had a very good week last week. But on the season, likes, big bets, everything, we're 55.7%. You do know that you have to hit it 52.9 to be winner as a professional.
That's legit.
I'll take it.
If somebody told me at the beginning of the season I'll go 56% on bets for the year, I'd be like, let's do it. Give me 56%.
Sign me up.
Give me the profit now so I can have some stress-free Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays and soon to be Saturdays. And holy hell, we're in week 6. God damn it, we're a third of the way through the season.
I know. It's like it can't get here fast enough. And then when it gets here, it doesn't slow down. It just picks up momentum and it keeps going. So before we get into this week's bets, I want to make sure to let you know that it is brought to you by Hate Brand Goods. That's the HVIII.com. And not this Thursday, if you're listening to this podcast on the 14th, but next Thursday, you know what drops, Dr. Kyle? Do you know what drops? The new goat shorts. New goat shorts designed after Freddy Krueger's sweater from Nightmare on Elm Street. They have that
class.
Yes, absolutely. You can check out Matt's Instagram page at I Hate Matt Vincent. That's IHVIII Matt Vincent. And you will see the Freddy Krueger goat shorts along. It goes in the show, it was Dream Warriors, you know. But in this edition from Hate Brand, it's Dream Chasers. And they've got a big rollout coming. And you still save 10% if you use the promo code Memphis at checkout, Dr. Kyle.
Yes, I know that because I used it the other day to get two more pairs of goat shorts that beautiful. I told myself I wouldn't get. But
when you see, but here's the thing about the Halloween and the horror flick inspired stuff, it sells out like instantly. They had the Friday the 13th slashers last month, and they sold out within 12 hours. So these Freddy Krueger inspired goat shorts will go very quickly. So you need to follow Matt on Instagram so you can see when the actual launch is. It's usually 4 p.m. Central Time, which makes it 3 p.m. in the East Coast. That's what time I'm on, what time Dr. Kyle's on. And they ship internationally, so no matter where you're listening in the world, you can get a hold of these things. But you got to set a reminder on your phone and order them like the minute that thing goes off, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to miss out, Dr. Kyle.
No.
So you just have to tell beautiful Mrs. Dr. Kyle that you are ordering more shorts, and it is what it is.
I'll get another dresser. It's okay. We need a Hate Brand dresser. Come on, Matt.
I will tell him to step his game up. So there you go. Brought to you by Hate Brand Goods, the HVIII.com. And let's get into this week, Dr. Kyle. So let's go leans. Let's go leans. Let's just go game by game, and we'll just mix it up. And if we have a teaser, we'll just have to bring it. First game on the board, Thursday Night Football, Tampa Bay. A lot of road favorites this week. A lot of home dogs, a lot of road favorites. Those two things go together. And
facts.
Tampa Bay going to Philadelphia, getting 6.5 at home, total of 52.5. You have a lean on this.
I got a lean on this. I don't know what it opened at this week, but I saw it either last night or earlier today. Philly was getting 7, and 7's a key number, and the juice looked like it was moving. I forget which way it was moving, but it's already moved to 6.5. I think we'll get a move again. I think people will get back on Tampa Bay. They're the more public team here. But, you know, something stuck with me last week that you said about Philly They're a scrappy team that plays to the end. 7 points is a big number to be getting at home on a short week. I think the Bucks will still be without Gronk. Tom Brady, I'm sure he's going to be okay, but you know, he did hurt his hand last week, so you know, maybe he's not questionable, maybe he's probable, but he's less than 100%. This feels like a game on a short week with the Bucks banged up and the secondary depleted, where you know their goal is to go in, get the win, get out, and get their team rested for the long week. So I'm going to take the blue collar Philadelphia team that doesn't give up. You know, they have a quarterback who it feels like he knows he's playing for his job. And you know, Philly, it's sort of like Philly's offense positively complements Tampa Bay's defense. Nobody is even trying to run the ball against Tampa Bay. And that started with the Cowboys in week one. Philadelphia doesn't run the ball at all. Maybe it's because they're always trailing. But we're going to see Philadelphia probably just throwing the ball against a Bucks depleted defense, especially in the secondary. So yeah, I'm rambling at this point, but Philly, you know, if you get it +7, I think that's the way to go. You know, 6.5, you're on the wrong side of 7 there, but it's still, I'd still be on Philly there.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at Philly right now. They have lost by more than 7 2 times. So 2 of their 3 losses have been by more than 7. They got absolutely boat raced on the road at Dallas on Monday Night Football, also in primetime. They lost by 21, and then they lost by 12 in a game they looked very spunky in versus the very weak defensed Kansas City Chiefs. For me, I am going to go, it might be a new favorite segment here on the Big Bet, I'm going to go Super Square Ball Tease of the Week. I'm going to take the two most public teams one could have. I'm going to tease Tampa Bay down to 0.5. So the line's currently 6.5. I'm going to do a 6-point teaser. I'm going to tease them down to 0.5. Basically, I just need them to win the game. Not tie, yep, but just win the game. And I'm going to tease them with the other super popular public team, the Kansas City Chiefs, who really needs a win in a big, big way. They're on the road at Washington. They're laying 6.5. I'm going to tease KC also down to the 0.5. And that is going to be my super duper square ball tease of the week.
Thoughts and that's on a leg, right?
That's a bet. That's a bet. That's one of my 5. You know, I didn't really want to be forced to 5. I have a lot more leans because I've been doing the super contest light contest, mm-hmm, where you have to pick 5 sides. You can't do totals, you have to do sides.
Is that the good contest? It's not a super contest, but it's a good contest.
It's like that where you have to pick
maybe
5.
A great contest.
It's something like that, but it's for fun and prizes, and you know, I'm doing okay. I'm around 500. I think I'm 13 and I don't know. It's like I'm something in one. I'm like 51.25%. So it didn't really come prepared to talk about that. But anyway, next game. In jolly old London, Miami and Jacksonville. So two Florida teams heading to jolly old England. We got Miami giving up 3.5. So Jacksonville getting 3.5. Total on the game, 47. You have a lean.
Yeah, so actually since Memphis put the numbers in around lunchtime today, and I got to looking at them later. I lean Miami. It's now -3, lay 110. So even juice across the board. I just think, you know, Miami is a 9-10 win team last year. Jacksonville is 1-4 against the spread. Yeah, I don't think it's going to do Jacksonville any favors by going to London. It might not do them any not favors because they probably don't have much home field. But, you know, I think Tua could be back this week. Not that he's a gigantic upgrade over Jacoby. I think the real difference here is if I have to be on either side of the field goal, I'm going to take what I believe is the better coach team. It seems like there's still a little bit of a circus going on in Jacksonville. You know, I think I'm getting the better defense. I'm getting the better quarterback. Trevor Lawrence, he's going to be great, but it's not happening right now consistently. And I don't see what seems like probably a not great disciplined team that's struggling, like not covering the spread even, going to London. So give me Miami, a lean -3.
I was originally going to make one of my bets the over in this game. Then right as I was doing research before we hit the record button, I saw a stat that was absolutely shocking.
Is it a London-specific stat?
It was a London-specific stat. It was a London-specific stat. Only 2 of the last 11 London games have went over the total.
Wow.
And only 1 of the last 11 London games have went over 47 points. So for me, it's that old adage, defense travels. I really want to lean to the over. And the reason why is that both of these defenses have been playing horrible. So in Miami's case, I threw out the first game of the season. You know, Brian Flores, you know, mentored under Bill Belichick. It was 17-16. But since then, Miami has given up 35, 31, 27, and 45. So a couple of good offenses in there, Buffalo and Tampa Bay, but also the Colts and the Raiders. So over the last 4, they're giving up 34.5 points a game. But Jacksonville's defense on the season has given up 37, 23, 31, 24, 37. That's 29 points a game. So neither one of these defenses are trending in the right direction. And both of these teams have turnover issues. Turnovers usually create short fields. Short fields usually add to additional points.
Nope.
The Jags have 11 turnovers on the year. The Dolphins have 19 turnovers between these two teams. So they're averaging about 2 turnovers a game between the two of them. So that's also good for the over. I just can't go against that trend. I cannot go against a 2-9 ATS trend. So for me, I'm going to lean over where it was originally a bet. So I like my data. I like my numbers, but I just don't like them enough to buck the trend that big. The one game neither one of us has anything on, and for me it's mostly because no news on Daniel Jones, although it looks like they could be getting Sterling Shepard back, maybe Darius Slayton back. Don't know too much yet about Kenny Shepard, but really Daniel Jones is the straw that stirs this drink. So you have L.A. going across the country to the New York Giants, laying 10.5, although I did see this down to 10 in some spots. But I just don't want any part of it.
Yeah.
This Giants team is very feisty. They have some spunk, and if for some reason Daniel Jones were to clear the protocol, 10's way too much. But I can't bet it today, so I have nothing. I don't have a lean. I don't have a like. And neither did you.
Nope. Not touching it. Again, like West Coast team coming to play on the East Coast at 1 o'clock, all signs point to me wanting to take the Giants in the points. But again, giant wild card there, and I think, you know,
Not with the long necker, not with the old long neck, Mike Glennon. So you also have a KCT. So I'm super square ball teasing KC and Tampa Bay. Now you're backup. You're like the B team teaser. So you have Kansas City in a teaser with Buffalo.
Yes, sir. The hottest team in the NFL.
So
you're going on the road on Monday night.
Yeah, so you're going to tease Buffalo and KC, right? We already talked about KC. We seem to be in agreement. We're going to tease them down to 0.5. Talk to me about Buffalo.
I was on Buffalo. I don't think I talked about it last week. Maybe I mentioned it, but it wasn't on the spreadsheet. I went Buffalo money line last week. Call me sharp, sharp-ish. I'm a sharp square at this point. Now, Buffalo is so well coached. What they're doing on the offensive side of the ball, getting Josh Allen schemed into the running game, has just opened up so much in the offense. We're seeing, you know, both running backs produce. We're seeing Dawson Knox produce. You know, people are worried about Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs' stats are fine, but in the grand scheme of what he did last year, when he was the only tool in the shed that Josh Allen was throwing to, it pales in comparison. I think Buffalo just goes into Tennessee, does their thing, and their defense. That's been the big difference this year. They were able to create pressure. I think they said that Buffalo only rushed more than 4 on Mahomes, like less than 5% of the time. I only watched maybe the first half of that game, but Mahomes is doing his like dancing in the backfield thing. Like they have the speed, and and the pass rush to give Tennessee. You know, obviously Derrick Henry is a bit different than what they were dealing with in Kansas City in the run game, but I think I'm going to ride the Buffalo train while it's got all this momentum. So just give me the tease down to a pick 'em.
All right. Well, I am I'm square balling again. I'm also taking the Buffalo Bills, but I'm gonna mix them in with the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers have gotten me 2 weeks in a row, but I'm going right back to the well. Here's the thing. I'm going to tease it up to 7. So instead of teasing down, which we've done a lot with favorites, I'm going to take the home dog in Carolina, and I'm going to tease them up to +7. I'm looking at Minnesota on the year, and the only team they've gotten margin on in a victory is Seattle. They beat Seattle 30-17 at home, but they went on the road to the Bengals and lost outright, lost by 3. They went on the road to the Cardinals, lost outright by 1. Now, they could have won that game. They had a shankopotamus move themselves. They lost to the Browns at home, and then they barely had to squeak out a win at home against the Lions. The only team that got margin on again was Seattle. So I think Carolina's defense is good enough to keep them in this game. Carolina is 3-2. And, you know, the game they lost against Dallas, they only lost by 8. So it looked a lot worse, and they really should have won this last game. They should be 4-1. I don't know that Minnesota can't beat them outright, kind of squeeze one out the way they did against the Lions, or maybe the way they kept it close against the against the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see them getting margin. I don't see them winning this game by more than a touchdown. So I'm going to tease Carolina up to 7, and I'm going to pair them with the Buffalo Bills. Same thing. In the Buffalo game, for me, it's pretty simple. Who's the better quarterback, Dr. Kyle?
Josh Allen.
Better head coach, McDermott or Vrabel?
McDermott. Vrabel's good, but McDermott is.
Better defense right now.
Buffalo.
Exactly. So you're telling me I'm getting the better coach, the better quarterback, and the better defense. Now, I get they have Derrick Henry. He's bionic. He's supersonic, but it's just not enough. It's just not enough. They could get up 14, or they could fall behind. And so for me, it's pretty simple. I'll just take Buffalo to win outright. This is kind of a revenge game. This was a weird COVID reschedule, you know, spot last year. And I think Buffalo understands they've got to keep their foot on the accelerator if they want to get the number one overall seed in the AFC. So I don't see them letting up after a big win on Sunday night against Kansas City. So that covers the Buffalo game. Let's go to Chicago and the Bears. Now, you have Chicago plus the 4.5. I have a lean to Green Bay. I'm debating, do I want to move this for crossfire? But I'm going to let you go first.
So I was on Green Bay early in the season, perhaps too early when they got smoked by the Saints. But we've now seen Green Bay. Green Bay is not boat racing teams. And look what Devontae Adams did last week in a game that Green Bay should have worked very well. I don't know what the percentage or likelihood of winning was like in the fourth quarter. It was probably right around 50%. And then it was like big spikes around the field goals. But Green Bay, I don't want to say there's something wrong in Green Bay, but I think they're probably overrated at this point with, Aaron Rodgers sort of got lucky with how he won the game in San Francisco. Like, that easily could have been a loss. And, you know, on the flip side of the ball, we're in Chicago. So I got the home favorite, I got the home team, sorry, not favorite, home dog getting well more than a field goal against a team whose kicker perhaps has the yips right now. But better yet, Chicago's defense has been playing much improved over the past couple of weeks, giving up only 9 points to the Raiders, only 14 to the Lions. And then, you know, earlier in the year, it was 17 to the Bengals. They gave up 26 to the Browns. But that was, if you remember that game, that was the game that was Justin Fields' debut where the Bears totaled like a yard. I think that Nagy has perhaps figured out how to play complementary football to keep the, limit the opponent to, you know, shorter drives. You know, he's Fields is making less mistakes. He's protecting them. And it just feels sharp, Memphis. It feels very sharp to take the Bears at home, getting 4.5 against an overrated Packers team.
All right. Well, I'm going to do it. I'm bringing the crossfire. We've got to have one. We haven't had one in a while. I had a lean initially, but I moved off of the total in the Jacksonville Miami London game. So we've got crossfire here.
Drag and drop that shit, Memphis.
Hey, I've done and done. It's already in the show sheet, baby. And here's what's up. So let's forget about this game for just a second. We were talking about this before I hit the record button. So from a QBR standpoint, a passer rating standpoint, and an EPA. EPA is expected points per game. These are all that Vegas and betting pros use. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes. That being said, do you think it's baked into the then Vegas line?
I do not. Okay. I do not. I think that Vegas is trying to get the money even, so they make the juice, and that's what Vegas does. Here's the thing: the only quarterbacks to be worse than Davis Mills. Yes, that Davis Mills of the Houston Texans that has a worse QBR ranking, a worse passer ranking, and a worse EPA expected points added is Justin Fields. And it's not like their sample size is much bigger. Justin Fields has actually played 6 less plays than Davis Mills. So, and Davis Mills didn't get a game against the Detroit Lions. So for me, I'm getting the better head coach. I'm getting the better quarterback. I understand that the Bears are at home. I am taking Green Bay. I don't think that LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers are going to have any trouble getting margin in the back end of this game. Yes, sir. You would like a rebuttal?
No, not a rebuttal. A question for the masses. Looking at QBR and EPA, can you remove the Browns game from Justin Fields' stats and see what the number is? Do you have that capability? Or are we talking we need a McKenzie someday?
We need like a stats person to do that live. But why would I remove him? He was the known starter. It's not like he got roped into that game. Now, if you want to remove,
I think things fundamentally changed for the Bears after.
What's
that
gotten
game.
Better?
I think they've schemed differently. I think they're protecting him. And
what has he done to make you think that if the Packers get up 14 points,
he had like the highest average depth of target last week for all quarterbacks or something?
And he passed for like 128 yards.
Yeah, because they go up when you're up at halfway through the second quarter by more than a touchdown, and you don't have to get on the gas pedal.
Is that what good teams do? Did Buffalo take their foot off the gas pedal?
No, but they're
Does Kansas City take their foot off the gas pedal? Did Tampa Bay take their foot off the gas pedal? No. You're making excuses.
When have the Packers been on the gas pedal?
That's a very good question in fairness, but when has the Packers won by margin? They beat Detroit by margin. Yeah. The Packers whooped up San Francisco. They're exercising their demons. Like I said, all I know is that if the Bears get up 10 points like they did against the Raiders, can the Packers come back? Perhaps. Okay, perhaps. Nice one. If the Packers get up 14 on the Bears, do you think Justin Fields can lead them back?
Not as likely.
Thank you. So it's not like this is an unfamiliar rivalry between the Packers and the Bears. I am trying to get to get LaFleur's record against the Bears. I'll try to get that later in the show. So we have a crossfire. This is a $20 bet. I'm currently up 2 units, I believe. Maybe it's 1.
I think it is 1.
So I'm up 1 unit on this is an automatic $20 bet between me and Kyle. I'm going to take I like this. So let me get this straight. It's me, LaFleur and Rodgers versus you, Nagy and Fields. How could I not love this, even giving up 4.5?
I don't put like I'm not on their
so
team.
So what's home field worth?
It's me, Nagy, Fields, and 4.5 points.
Okay, so but what's home field worth?
Two and a half.
Okay, so you're telling me that the Bears are within two and a half on a neutral field against the Packers?
No, it's a 7-point because they're home dogs.
Oh, you're correct. You're
so
right.
It's like
right.
6.5, 7 on a neutral. I get it. I did the same thing last week, so I had to study that all this week, so I couldn't make the same mistake. So
I just thought I'd pick that up in your stead.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm going Packers. You've got the Bears. We'll see what happens on Sunday.
We got a reason to watch a stupid Packers-Bears game.
That's right. Root your little heart out. And the next game, the L.A. Chargers going across country to play the Baltimore Ravens. Chargers getting 3. You had nothing on this. I'm taking the Chargers +3.
Oh, but, I meant to lean the Chargers on this.
Okay,
one.
Perfect.
I was going to put Chargers money line even, but I'm going to put it in my leans because I got 5 legs.
I know everyone's super jazzed about what we saw out of the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday. Or should be Monday. It was Monday Night Football. But for me, it's, you know, they kind of got away with one. They beat up an Indy with a partially put together offensive line. And literally, I'm not making any excuses for my favorite team, but they were literally down to second and third string corners and safeties. And it took a hurt kicker missing a field goal and getting a field goal blocked for them to win that game. Now, again, kudos. You were down, 16? I think it was 25-9 at one point, and they came back and won the game fair and square. I'm not saying that the Colts got jobbed or worked, but it took every ounce of effort to beat a 1-3 Indy team. The Baltimore skated by a very bad Detroit team, and they got lucky to do it. They should have had a delay of game penalty that didn't get called. But you know what? It's all baked in there. But I'm going to take Justin Herbert and this team. I'm going to take the 3 points. I would love for it to see it go to 3.5. I actually think it'll go to 2.5.
I think so, it's already gone at 2.5.
Yeah, well, I got it at 3. So at 2.5, it would be a lean, but I had it at 3. I'm sure you could find it at 3 out there somewhere if you shop around, maybe a little extra juice. What are your reasons for liking this?
Again, like the Ravens – the Ravens are bullies. We've heard that and talked about that before. When they play teams that they should crush, they crush them. And then we're like, oh, the Ravens are back. They're this unstoppable force. Nobody's ever going to figure out Lamar. But then when they play a team that's actually good, it's very close. I think they've gotten away with a little bit this year. But again, one of those wins was Kansas City. Is Kansas City as good as we want? You know, we still think they were 2 years or think they are because of what they were 2 years ago.
They could easily be 1-4. They could, exactly. Baltimore could easily be 1-4.
Exactly. And this Chargers team could easily be 5-0.
5-0. I mean, yeah.
They should have won that Cowboys game.
They had a weird pass interference call. So yeah. I think I'm getting the better team in points.
I think we're getting the better team. I think we're getting, yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily say
Herbert is better than Lamar when it comes to, you know, maybe who I would want in the fourth quarter at this point. I think it'll be debatable soon, but there's just so much to love about the Chargers right now, and they're getting points.
Two-way action. All right, next game, Houston's coming to my hometown. Well, not my hometown, but where I live, right here in Indianapolis. And the Colts are laying 9.5. Actually, the numbers moved to 10 because you have on the sheet Houston to 10. So you're taking Houston +10. And I've got a big bet on this game. I'm going to let you go. Houston +10. Why do you like that side?
Low total. Big points to get. In fairness, so, you know, I was going to talk about how the Colts defense haven't really lived up to their expectations or what they were last year. Granted, you know, Monday night, I didn't watch the Monday night game, so I didn't know how the Colts really had contained the Ravens most of the game, and it was a little bit fluky how they won. But I think, you know, I'm not a Davis Mills guy or anything, but in a total that's 42.5, and the favorite is what, 2-3 or 1-4?
1-4.
Yeah, like Houston just covered against the great Bill Belichick. You know, outside of, let me see, I think they're, they've done well against the spread this year. 3-2 against the spread this year. They've had some continuity over the past couple of weeks now. Mills has gotten some practice reps with the first team. I don't know. Just like they're like this team that you're supposed to not like because there's nothing sexy about them, but for whatever reason, it all sort of works. You know, it's almost like they're, you know, they're the team, the fundamental team. So 10's a key number. So give me the key number for Houston. You know, they're traveling, but Houston and Indy isn't really that far. Yeah, that's all I got to say on that. Houston plus 10.
Yeah, my concern is I'm going on the total here in a second, is that Houston's only scoring 18 points a game right now. That's my concern, is that Houston is not a great scoring offense. Now, I get that.
I think they might be on the upswing with that.
At home, it seems they play a lot better at home. And this game's on the road. So at 10, I can understand why you would take it. I'm going over the total. And because this, I do believe that this Houston, even though they're only scoring 18 points a game, I do believe they can put points up there. They've got good wide receivers. They don't have good running backs, but they have capable running backs.
Yeah, and I was going to say, they're not bad running backs at all. You know, they're probably okay, not making mistakes. They can, you know, they can cycle through and stay fresh, so there's probably some value to that.
They got Brandon Cooks. I mean, they're doing okay with the wide. And here's the thing. You read the Colts injury list. I don't know if I'm reading the injury list or the team roster. It feels like everyone's hurt. And I don't anticipate them getting a lot of guys back. The secondary is going to be banged up. The Colts have not played horrible at home, although they've not played great. So this is the Colts' first home game. I don't like teams coming off of overtime games. Another reason why I like the Chargers. That extended overtime, just, you know, that many more plays that, you know, comes out of you. And then amplify that on a short work week. So for me, I like the over. I think the Colts will be able to score. I think that offense has confidence coming off of a very good showing. Because that game was not on Carson Wentz. He finished third on the week in passing yards. It was arguably his best performance in a year and a half. Since 20, yeah. maybe since 2018. He looked
really good. Yeah, I can't remember any redeeming games last year.
And T.Y. Hilton returned to practice. And I know it's not T.Y. Hilton from like 2017 or whatever year he led the league in receiving, but getting T.Y. Hilton back is a boost. So that's why I see Houston being able to score on the Indy defense. And I see the Indy offense on the upswing. You know, look good against a very tough Ravens defense. So for me, I'm just going to go big bet over 42.5. I see Indy winning this game somewhere around, like, honestly, like 28-20, you know, 28-30, you know, 21-31. I could see something like that. I think that 10 is going to be real close. That's why I didn't want to take it or lay it, but I'm going big bet Colts and Texans over 42.5. So that wraps me up for the week. I have some leans. On some other games, but my five for the week, I'm going square ball teaser of the year. Tampa Bay and Kansas City, teasing both of them down to half a point. I am teasing Carolina up to 7, and I'm teasing them with Buffalo down to a pick 'em. I am going Green Bay minus 4.5. I am going Chargers plus 3, and I'm going over 42.5. in the Colts and the Texans game. Got some leans to wrap up the show. Arizona going to Cleveland. Cleveland laying 3. So if you take out the 2.5 for home field, that says on a neutral that they think that Vegas, the odds makers, thinks, you know, Cleveland's just a touch better than Arizona. You lean to Cleveland.
So this is a weather-dependent game. If the weather looks like sunny skies, Arizona, give me the air raid offense. Give me Kyler Murray dancing all over the field while he's still healthy. I could see the Browns defensive line giving him a little bit of trouble. But it is the time of the year where you really need to start looking at weather days in advance for the hometowns, home cities, because it looks like it could be windy in Cleveland on Sunday. And I think it will affect the air raid offense and the away team, who's used to playing in sunny Tempe or Phoenix or whatever, wherever they play in Arizona, more so than
they play in a dome. They could play in Antarctica.
Yeah.
They play in a dome.
They got it's like the dome, but like they could
open with real grass,
sunroof. And yeah.
No, they don't have the sunroof. They literally drag the field outside so it can get like weather. and then they drag it back in on like mega tractors or something. It's technology.
So bougie.
Very. Anyway, Phoenix is a bougie city, by the way. Phoenix, Scottsdale, that whole area, very bougie.
No, I'll have to get there then. But anyway.
Oh, it's right up your alley.
If the weather is as potentially rainy and or windy, I think it leans windy right now as I lean Cleveland. I think it will have less of a negative impact on a Cleveland team that likes to run the ball and control the pace of the game, and would be much more negative toward the passing offense of the Cardinals. So it's a lean either way. I will let you know. Let's touch base Sunday morning, Memphis, when we know exactly what the weather is in Cleveland, and I'll tell you what my lean is. I'll post it on Twitter so we know what my official lean is once the weather is official, because that shit is unpredictable.
Well, not only that, but Chandler Jones, I believe, went on the COVID list, so it does not look like he will play. So that's going to minimize the pass rush on Baker Mayfield. And just, I mean, a lot of these guys are going to play, but DeAndre Hopkins missed with an illness, obviously not COVID, or it would be listed as such. And then Kyler Murray, you know, limited today with a shoulder injury, throwing shoulder, by the way. Baker's got the non-throwing shoulder. This, to me, I think that total's even a touch high at 50, especially if the rain is going to be there. So this is the kind of game and the kind of environment, you said it, that favors Cleveland. So if there is lean, but because I'm doing the contest, I went ahead and put the lean to Cleveland in there for the same reason. Now, we have another crossfire, but since we have one, we damn sure don't need two. We have your big bet, Dallas, yes, heading to New England. You have it's down to three now.
Yes, sir.
It was four. When I first wrote the show sheet today during lunch.
Oh, my God.
Do you know why this is down to three? Because Vegas pros are beating the dog shit out of it. It opened at 4.5 or 5. Depends on where you got the world opener. There's a reason why that. But anyway, I'm going to let you go. Because I'm leaning New England, by the way, in case you can't tell from the tone of my voice.
You're telling me that the Cowboys and the Patriots are only 5 points different? Like
that's on a neutral field? No.
Yeah.
In New England, quite possible. I know that we are victims of what we most recently saw was, well, you know, New England went down to Houston and they could barely pull one out against old Davis Mills. And I understand that. It's still Bill Belichick. He's still – now, I actually do like the under in this game too. 52.5, both of these defenses are pretty good. It's not like Dallas is throwing the ball a ton.
They're playing with the lead.
I'm not saying it's a bad strategy. Yeah. I don't think – it's like I said, when I first saw the number, I saw it at 4, and I put 4 because I had seen 4.5. That's why it's just a lean for me. Mm-hmm. But I get that Dallas is the better team, but it's still Mike McCarthy against Bill Belichick. I can't take Dallas as a road favorite against Bill Belichick. I mean, just say that. I understand what we've seen this year, but just say that quietly in your head. I'm taking Dallas.
You've got to be ahead of the masses when it comes to Dallas on the road against Bill Belichick.
I understand. I just think there's such a tax put on Dallas because they're such a public team. They're 5-0 against the. I understand that.
But so what's the tax? It's not a tax. You're getting free points every week.
Because the bookie is overinflating Dallas's number because they know the public's going to lay it. They know that you know the squares out there. Oh, Dallas is 5-0 against the spread. Why wouldn't I lay whatever the number is? I'll just lay it. Could be a million. I would lay it. Can't wait to lay it. Dallas is 5-0. I had
leaned New England at 4. It like feels 4 hours like ago, too much. And I saw it at 3. I'm like, give me Dallas.
I think there's just so much hype on Dallas. You wake up every morning, regardless of what John Gruden out here with racist and sexist tweets. And it doesn't matter. We lead every talk show at Dallas. They're such a public team. And they are playing better. But you know what? You still got to go into New England. And as the man that I named you after, the dirtiest player in the game.
As Ric Flair said, has his coaching.
You have to go, to be the man. You have to beat the man. And you know what? You're right. New England's not been playing great, but I am not going to fade New England at home catching points. Can't do it. You can do what you want. It's your big bet, but
I'm going to.
You roll, big dog.
Okay. You do like some sort of promotional thing real quick, because I got to look something up.
You go right ahead. I'm just going to go into the next game. You have nothing on it. It is the Las Vegas Raiders going to Denver. The Las Vegas Raiders are +3.5. I am going to take an inspired Raiders team as a lean. It's not a bet. It's a lean. I'm leaning Raiders +3.5. If it was 3, probably would lean Denver. I just think Denver's kind of getting exposed. And if the Raiders hadn't have burned me twice this year, maybe I would be less likely to make it a lean and more likely to make it a bet. But it's just a lean. I'm going to lean Raiders -3. I've also got a little something on the Pittsburgh game. So Seattle going on the road, Sunday night football. Very gross game, by the way. It's the Geno Smith versus Big Ben matchup we've all been looking for years and years. And I do lean to Pittsburgh laying the 5. I just don't know how Pittsburgh loses this game against Seattle. Their defense is horrible. Now their offense is not in very good shape. If there's ever a chance for Pittsburgh to open it up and get margin, it's in this game.
Pittsburgh might be getting healthier on defense, too. I got to look into that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously every week, you know, TJ Watt, as long as he doesn't pop up again with another groin injury, he should be getting healthy from the initial one. Yeah. I just see a lot of things coming together. And, you know, Pittsburgh got a lot of confidence. That game wasn't as close as the score indicated on Sunday either. Even with Teddy Bridgewater back, you know.
Right.
Denver walked into a mess, and Pittsburgh's going to be at home again. So yeah. They've not traveled. Seattle has a little advantage of a 10-day work week. From you prop bettors, I'll probably have some props on this. I've got to do some diving. I heard this on another podcast that you know, a lot of times when they set props for these players, they just basically, you know, it's real close to their seasonal averages. Well, I heard something on a podcast today about how Russell Wilson really obviously likes to scramble around and then push the ball down the field. Whereas when Geno Smith played in the preseason, he really likes to check the ball down to tight ends and backs. So I'm going to be looking at the props of guys like Alex Collins and DJ Dallas and Chris Carson if he plays, and the tight ends, whether Everett's back from the COVID list or it's Disley or whomever.
I think he's back.
I'm going to be poking around those tight end and running back props just because of that stat. Because if they're super low, I might have something on that. But that wraps up the week for us. You wanted to look into a stat. What'd you find? You did some digging.
Yeah, I didn't find anything I like.
You know why? You go digging where there's taters.
Yeah. Nah, New England is good as a home dog over the past 2 years. So I did only since 2020 because I didn't want Tom Brady in there. But
yeah, you don't want Tom Brady.
3-1 as home dogs, about to be 3-2.
Okay. 3-1. Dallas, like I said, there's just I'm surprised there's still this much teasers. But you know what? As sports betting gets bigger, I just believe that if we look back on Sunday, you know, maybe we can get a bet on this. Maybe after I win the Green Bay, Chicago game, maybe I can come back at you and we can go double or nothing on
That's fine.
Oh yeah!
I'll accept it as long as it's Dallas -3. I'll accept it.
So as long as you have the best of it, got it. Write that down.
It's an if then bet.
If I got the best of it,
if
you got
Green
action.
Bay covers, then we're just gonna roll it right into the afternoon.
No, we're gonna look at what that closing line is in that game.
No,
because because right now the reason why the number went from 4 to 4.5. Down to 3 is because all the pro money's on there. But when all the recreational bettors, you know, start firing on Dallas because they just can't wait, and the number gets inflated back up to, you know, 3.5, 4, then I'll come talking to you.
No,
closing line.
It's got
to
be 3.
No,
it's got to be 3.
No,
it's got to be 3. Yeah, we're my big bet's 3.
We're gonna go closing line. I know how to find you. We'll rehash this on Sunday.
You better hope I'm lubed up then, because I'm
nah. I don't want to take advantage of you. All right, so here we go. Let's do a quick rundown. We'll get out of here. All right.
Oh, I didn't get to talk about one, even though you did. I like Carolina. I like Carolina at home getting okay. a 1.5, which you may as well just take the money
you,
line.
You know, if I'm going to take the 1.5, I'm going to take the money line.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting the better defense. I can't say the better head coach, but, man, it feels like Vegas has soured on Mike Zimmer.
Here's what I think about this game. I think this is going to be the game where we find out, is Sam Darnold trending back to Sam Darnold of the Jets, or is Sam Darnold going to get back to who Sam Darnold was the first 3.5, 4 games of the season?
What if I told you he's going to be the guy in the middle?
I still think it's Carolina this week. I think he's good enough.
My thing is so obviously the Dynasty Warzone, the DWZ Football Network, started off as a Dynasty podcast. That's what our Patreon centered around, patreon.com/DynastyWarzone. But we do have a gambling group chat in there. And in the patron of the Dynasty Fantasy Football conversation is someone asked me, he's like, will the real Sam Darnold please stand up? What do you think he's going to be? I'm like, I never was delusional and thought that after 4 games that he would be the QB5. And much less do I think he would stay there forever. I've always thought the perfect spot for Sam Darnold is for him to land as the QB 12 to 15. That's where I see him ending the season. So is he going to be in the rankings where he was 2 weeks ago with the Mahomes and the Herberts and the Allens? No, he's not. But I actually think this is like Kirk Cousins versus a somewhat younger version of Kirk Cousins. So it's going to be a good game. I do find that total a little bit interesting. It's let's see here. Got to switch over to that. 46 feels low, but yeah, I'm just going to tease it. I'm going to take Carolina +7, get the win, go home, count the money.
Yep.
All right, man. Well, are you going to do a injury podcast this week? You going to have time? I know you're a busy man.
I don't know if I'll have time this week. I'm sorry, everybody.
Tweet it out. Yeah. Tweet it out. Follow that, man. Just give us like a little, 280 characters or less.
Tweet at me. Please ask me questions. If somebody is like, hey, what do you think about this? I will then do the research. I'm sorry. Maybe that's a fault in my programming, but take advantage of that fault and start blasting stuff at me and I'll make it work.
You can F-bomb them. Yeah, send him a question about an injury of your favorite player, maybe a dick pic. You know, he is Dr. Kyle.
Don't ask me about Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey. Like, there's probably 47 PTs. I know them. Like, we're in a PT-only league this year, and they all spend way more time doing that. What I am more interested in is finding about the key guards, tackles, defensive linemen, safeties, those guys. That seems to be – I don't want to say it's my niche because I haven't done it in 2 weeks, but I think there's a hole in the industry there, and there's an advantage to be had therefore. So
all right, I'm gonna give you a homework assignment for next week. Are you ready?
What is the homework assignment?
Homework assignment is I want Dr. Kyle's offensive line versus defensive line injury report play of the week. That's what I want. I want you to look at the health of one offensive line that's going to be taking on one defensive line. Like, I want the health of the – like, this week would have been a good example. So, Cleveland Browns have been having issues with, like, Jedrick Wills, their second-year left tackle that has been protecting the blind side of Baker Mayfield. You know, he's been injured. So, I want the impact of that. And then on the Cardinals' defensive line, they're going to have Chandler Jones out with COVID. Now, obviously, there's not a whole lot you can do with COVID, but you're going to give me Dr. Kyle's. This is what they're tuning in for. DWZ_DrPT. We want his defensive line versus offensive line matchup of the week. It can include PFF rankings. It can include medical issues. It can include anything you want, but I want the good doctor's line play of the week. See what I did there? It's a two-way thing. We talk about line play.
Oh my goodness.
plays?
We want the line plays squared play of the week. Because
it's going to be sharp, though.
It's going to be
the sharpest squared line play. Oh, my God.
It's going to be the sharp line play squared of the week with Dr. Kyle. The sharpest doctor with the squarest takes. I don't know, man. At this point, we're just rambling. But, hey, man, thanks for jumping on. I know you've got an early morning tomorrow, so I'm going to let you jump off. Make sure to tune in on Sunday for Football Sunday School or be following me on Twitter. Sometimes I got to put them out on Twitter because, like Dr. Kyle, real life gets in the way. We're putting out content 7 days a week here at the DWZ. Make sure you're tuned in to the YouTube. So on that yawn, on that man, his name is at DWZ underscore Dr. PT. You can follow me at DWZ Memphis. And until next time, remember, money won is twice as sweet as money earned. Have a good night, Dr. Kyle.
You too, Memphis.
Hey, you do notice that thing.
$1,000 is a cool G, as we call it back home. Are you at liberty to play for that, Stanley? Would you prefer to play for smiles?